Chapter 9. But the Scuthopolitans behaved in the most impious and lawless manner of all. Indeed, up until these events, the Judeans' assaults had only been against the foreigners. But while they were overrunning Scuthopolis, they encountered Judean foes among them. For when the Scuthopolitans were attacked from outside by these Judean foes, they forced the Judeans living among them to take up arms and join the battle against their compatriots, which it is unlawful for us to do. So regarding their own safety as more important than their shared race, the Judeans living among the Scuthopolitans fell alongside them. And by joining together, they overcame the attackers. But as soon as they were victorious, the Scuthopolitans deliberately forgot the faithfulness which the Judeans among them had borne toward their neighbors and allies. For the extreme ardor they had was so great that they had even been brought under suspicion. Accordingly, the Scuthopolitans became anxious that the Judeans among them might, in order to make amends to their own brethren for their defection, make an attempt on the city and inflict a great calamity. So the Scuthopolitans directed them that if they wanted to confirm their unity and demonstrate their trustworthiness to those of other nations, to move together with their families into the grove. Now, they did what had been ordered without suspicion. Indeed, the Scuthopolitans remained quiet for 2 days, baiting their trust. But on the third night, having closely observed that they were indeed unguarded, but sleeping, they slaughtered them all. The number they rid of exceeded 13,000, but they plundered everyone's possessions. But one who suffered was Simon, son of Saul, a man of rather distinguished race. Now, although he excelled in vigor of body and audacity, he abused both gifts to the detriment of his compatriots. Accordingly, day after day, he had ventured out, indeed, doing away with many of the Judeans who were against Scuthopolis. But often, he had routed them all, single-handedly tipping the scales of the pitched battle. But a just penalty overtook this relative murderer. For when the Scuthopolitans had surrounded those throughout the grove and were shooting them down with javelins, he drew his short sword. Indeed, he did not charge at any of his foes, for even he saw their endless multitude. But instead, he shouted out with great emotion,
"I am suffering justly for what I have done on your side, Scuthopolitans, because I have proven our goodwill towards you by such a great slaughter of our blood relatives. For this reason, we have experienced the untrustworthiness of foreigners, but have desecrated our own kinsmen to the utmost degrees. Therefore, let me die by my own hands, as under a curse, for it is not fitting to die by those of the enemy. But at the same time, let this be both a just penalty for my pollution and a praise for my courage, in order that none of my opponents might boast of having slaughtered me or glory as I fall."
after saying these things, with eyes full of pity and fury. He carefully surveyed his own family, which consisted of a wife and children, and aged parents. But first, he indeed drew up his father by his gray hairs, thrusting him through with his short sword. After him, the willing mother. After these, both the wife and the children, each one almost rushing out to greet the short sword, and in haste to anticipate their foes. But he went through all of his family and stood in plain view upon their bodies. And raising up his right hand so as to conceal it from no one, he completely immersed his short sword into his own slaughter. Indeed, he was a youth who deserves to be pitied on account of his strength of body and determination of soul. But because of his faithfulness toward foreigners, he met the consequent suffering. But in addition to this ruin at Scuthopolis, each of the remaining cities rose up against the Judeans among them. And indeed, the Ashkelonites did away with 2,500, but the Ptolemaeans, 2,000. And they put not a few into confinement. And the Tyrians indeed laid their hands on large numbers, but they kept guard over most of them in prison. Both the Hippanese and the Gadarites likewise rid themselves of the bolder ones, but held the more timid ones in custody. As did the remaining cities of Syria, each making their decision according to whether it had feelings of hatred or terror against the Judeans among them. But only the Antiochians and Sidonians and Apameans spared their residents and did not support either doing away with or confining certain Judeans. The Gerasites also did nothing to offend those who had decided to remain where they were, and they escorted those who had expressed a desire to immigrate as far as the borders.